Praise the Lord. Well, I'm really excited today to bring this message to you because this is something that the Lord has been ministering to me for a while now about wisdom and about the fear of the Lord. We're going to be talking about that today. Well, let me start this way. A couple of days ago when I was spending time with the Lord and thinking about these things, especially thinking about the fear of the Lord and some of the things that the Lord's been showing me and teaching me, I was sitting there in the chair that I normally sit in when I spend time with the Lord, and just all of a sudden, I just felt the Lord just come and just sit on me. We hear sometimes about the heaviness of His glory, and it was like that. It's like He just sat on me, and I couldn't hardly move, and I was just giving Him glory and giving Him praise, and His presence was so wonderful and so thick, because He is an awesome God. And one of the things that we learn about with His wisdom is we also learn about His holiness. Because He is so holy. Like I was quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. He is so holy that that's what the angels see. We see the same thing in Revelation chapter 4. That is what the angels see when they fly around that throne. What are they seeing? They're seeing His holiness, and they're proclaiming His holiness. His holiness is so wonderful, but one of the things that His holiness does, as we see experienced by Isaiah, when he said, "Woe is me, I am in big trouble, because of His holiness, I see that I am, even as a prophet, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." So His holiness shows us our sin. And one of the benefits of wisdom is that we learn to live in who Jesus is, who God is, in His holiness. We'll kind of unfold that as we go through this morning. My goal for you guys, as you're listening to this today, my goal for you is that you, from this message, that you will be more in love with God. And that you would be more in love with His Word. His Word is amazing. And that you would be more in love with the God of the Word. Because the Word is God's expression of Himself. It says all Scripture is God-breathed. God, in expressing His Word to the men that wrote down what they saw, what they heard, what they felt, it was God breathing and expressing Himself. So when we read the Word, it is His expression of Himself, what He wants us to know about Him, what He wants us to know how to live and conduct our lives. And wisdom is at the core of that. The main word that's translated wisdom is the word chokmah. And it means knowing the way of the righteous, and that way is truth and justice. It comes from the mouth of God. We see that in Proverbs chapter 2. It comes from the mouth of God. It says there in Proverbs chapter 2 that, turn to it here real quick. Proverbs chapter 2 is still in my Bible. I don't know if you could see my Bible. It is so marked up you can hardly read it. It says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So it's derived from the mouth of God, and it shows us the ways of God, who God is, how he acts, how he works, how he, what he thinks, what is on his heart. And I pray that that would be a revelation to you today. Understanding wisdom. If you have your the fourth page of the outline today, you'll have a picture, an illustration. This is from my depiction of Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. It says there, "Wisdom has hewed out her seven pillars." And as you read about wisdom, particularly from the book of Proverbs, you begin to understand and see that there are basically seven different words, seven different concepts that surround wisdom. Matter of fact, they surround wisdom so closely that in some translations, these words are actually translated wisdom. But they are different than wisdom, but they are part of wisdom. And so I want us to look at those seven words today. The first three that I have listed there, understanding, and then instruction / discipline, and knowledge. These three are the key or the main words that are associated with wisdom. So wisdom, knowing the way of the righteous, knowing the way of righteousness, of what is right, what God considers right, the right thing to do. So understanding. So wisdom, let's look at it in this way. Wisdom is God expressing himself through his word. And so his word tells us things. And so when we begin to grasp what it is that God is saying, now think of it in this way. This, remember, the Bible, the Old Testament, Proverbs and such, is a Jewish book. So this is the way that the Jewish mindset was towards wisdom. You've got the Torah, God's law, God expressing himself in who he is and what he wants for his people. And as that is being expressed, we begin to grasp it. We begin to take it in. But then what really makes wisdom then work are these three words: understanding, instruction and discipline, and knowledge. So understanding. So we take what we hear from the Word of God, and as we work with it, we begin to understand what is it that God is trying to say here? What is being expressed? And so as we begin to then understand it, as we take it in, as we compare it with other scriptures, with other concepts of the Word of God, we begin to form some understanding. Ah, this is what God means. This is what oh man, this is what's important to him. See, I came across this some years ago when I was going through the book of Psalms, and I came across Psalm 89, verse 14. And it says, the foundation of his throne, talking about God, the foundation of his throne is righteousness and judgment. And I thought, wow, the foundation of his throne. So what, it's one of the things that begin, it's the key to who God is, his righteousness and his judgment. And then it says, and out of his face, or from his face, flows mercy, loving kindness, and truth. And so I took that concept, I began to think about it. And so I found another scripture that said the exact same thing. It's Psalm 97, verse 2. And then as I've reading even through the Proverbs, I'm seeing all the same thing. I'm seeing the same thing. I'm seeing righteousness and judgment and justice, these words. And as I begin to put them together, it formed a picture. And I begin to understand who God is like, what's important to him. And so out of understanding the Word of God, then instruction or discipline. That is then taking what we begin to understand, what is being formed in our mind and in our hearts. We begin to take that, and it's like it reproves us. It says, you're not doing this right. This is not the way you are. It shows us our sin, like we talked about at the last teaching. But it also then helps us to be disciplined. In other words, it sets up parameters in our life to this is what's right and this is what's wrong. It's the ethical teaching of moral teaching of what's right and what's wrong. The underlined principle of instruction and discipline is to bind, to tie oneself, to tie together. And so what we're doing is we are binding ourselves to wisdom. We are saying, I want wisdom. I'm going to bind myself to it so that my life then lines up with wisdom. I am disciplining myself. I am controlling my flesh. I'm controlling my desires, and I will not give in to them because I want to obey the Word of God. So understanding is understanding what it is. Instruction then is the implementation of it into our life. And then knowledge then is taking that and viewing our life and viewing the world around us through that lens of the Word of God so that we begin to see, this is the way that this needs to work. This is the way that I need to conduct myself in this kind of situation. See, that's why there is such a contrast, if you read through the book of Proverbs, between the simple or the foolish and the wise. Because the wise, and there's a couple of Proverbs that even say this, the wise considers things. But the foolish, they ignore it and they just plow on through, and it reaps destruction in their life. That is a very loose paraphrase of a couple of different scriptures from Proverbs. Now, the final four of these pillars of wisdom are actually more of the outcome. So righteousness comes out of wisdom. We know what is right. Natural, moral, legally, is what righteousness means. It also can be translated justice or equity. Another one that comes into play is the word equity itself. Evenness, that which is equal and that which is right. Another one is discretion. A plan, an intent, a quality of being discerning or having far-sighted wisdom. So we'll see as we go through some of these scriptures today how discretion helps us to make decisions about things in our life. And then the last one is prudence, which is very similar to discretion, shrewdness, or also translated discretion, so that you can evaluate a situation and make decisions. Now, as we talk about wisdom, I'm focusing today on the more of the spiritual side, the scriptural side of wisdom. There is, of course, you know, natural wisdom, and matter of fact, this same word wisdom is used in Exodus as they are describing the building of the tabernacle. And it said God gave wisdom to the silversmiths. God gave wisdom to the goldsmiths. God gave wisdom to the women that were weaving together the fabric for the tabernacle. So there is those kind of things, a natural wisdom, wisdom that we learn from the hard knocks of life, the things that we go through. There is that kind of wisdom, but I'm focusing more on the wisdom that comes directly from the Word of God and its impact and its flow through our life. Now, the first foundation of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And we'll talk more about that. Psalm 111:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, the second foundation of wisdom is righteousness and judgment, which is what I mentioned a few minutes ago from Psalm 97, verse 2, and Psalm 98, verse 14. So what supports the fear of the Lord is righteousness, which is being in right standing with God and doing things in right way. And judgment. Judgment is a decree of what is right. It is it's actually a legal word that means a judgment has been rendered. And so it's not judgment like judging people, being judgmental. That's not what it's talking about. It's what is right, and the decree has been made. This is right, and therefore that is wrong. So judgment and righteousness are the foundation of God's throne. They are also the foundation of wisdom. So from righteousness and judgment comes the fear of the Lord. And from the fear of the Lord comes wisdom. And we'll talk about fear of the Lord in more detail in a few minutes. First of all, let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. I want to talk about the flow of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Now, as we go through this, I want you to notice some of these words. Instruction, understanding, same words we've been talking about. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. I'm going to pause there for a moment. We're talking here in the natural. This is Solomon talking about his father, David, a man after God's own heart. And remember when Solomon became king. He had been a king just a short time, and he had a dream. And in that dream, God came to him and said, Solomon, I'll give you whatever you want. tell me what you want. And Solomon, in that dream, out of his, his subconsciousness, as he was dreaming, he said to the Lord, so this came from his heart. This wasn't just a rational decision of his mind. This was a decision of his heart. He said, your people need guidance. I need instruction. I need wisdom. I need understanding on how to guide your people. And then, of course, when he woke up, we know that the Lord then said, I'm going to give you that, but not only that, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for long life, I'm going to give you both of those. So here he is talking about how he had listened to his father. And I believe it was because he listened to his father, the man after God's own heart, that he could make that kind of decision. That I want understanding. How do I guide your people? Okay, going on now to verse 5. Get wisdom. And that word get there means to grasp it. Grasp it. Hold on to it. Get it. Acquire it. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't let it go. Don't go down from it. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You can see how important wisdom is. Get wisdom. And in a few minutes, we'll talk about what that means. How do you get wisdom? Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, we're going to see that coming up a little bit later. When we embrace her, when we take her into our arms, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Now, I entitled this Pursuing Wisdom for Life. I kind of had two different meanings when I wrote that. One is this one, that she shall deliver to thee long life, but also that the years of your life may be many, but also it's pursuing wisdom for life, to live our life the way that God has designed us to live. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. In other words, they won't be made narrower and narrower and narrower. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take hold of instruction, and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Amen. So get wisdom, get understanding. Now the results of that also found in Proverbs 4. But the path of the just, I love this scripture. This is a wonderful scripture. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So as we get wisdom, as we are growing in wisdom and understanding and instruction and knowledge and all these things, righteousness and equity and discretion and prudence are part of our life. The path of the just, and that word just there means righteous, the path of the righteous. It's the same word. in the Hebrew. The path of the righteous is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And that word day there, normally we think of day as like a, in Hebrew would be like moed or whatever. But this particular word actually means the brightness of midday. So we're talking here about that when we are righteous and we're walking in that path of righteousness, that our light, our glory shines more and more in the things in our life, shines more and more unto the fullness of the midday sun. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's talk now about acquiring wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12 and then 16 and 20. Now, this particular passage has ministered to me so much that I have actually incorporated this as part of my morning prayers that I pray for myself and for family, friends, loved ones in the ABC family. My son, if thou will receive my words, the words of God, and hide my commandments with thee. So we're talking here about the word of God. If you will receive them, take them for yourself and hide them, protect them, hide them with thee, so that you incline thine ear unto wisdom. Leaning forward into wisdom. You're inclining your ear. So when you hear, it's like you've probably had this happen. You've been in a store, and the music is playing, and you know, you don't really even hear it. It's just kind of in the background as you're walking around the store. But then all of a sudden, you hear a song that you like, a familiar song, and it's like, ah, yeah. Oh, man, that's great, you know, because now you have inclined your ear. So when you hear things about wisdom, when you hear about instruction and understanding these things, your ear is attuned unto that. You apply thine heart for understanding. I tell you, as you start doing this, it is so amazing. You start seeing things in the scripture you've never seen before. Things begin to make more sense because you have an ear that is attuned to wisdom. You apply your heart, apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and you lift up your voice for understanding, Lord, I want to understand your word. You cry out to him. And I tell you, I was with a friend of mine, I know, a month or so ago, and we were going over this scripture. And the Spirit of the Lord just was overwhelming us as we were reading through this. And I got out of the chair I was in, and I got down on my knees on the floor, and I was just lifting my hands and lifting my voice, crying out to the Lord for wisdom, crying out to the Lord for understanding. Verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures. So we're seeking, we're looking, we're leaving no stone unturned. If you're looking for a hidden treasure, you're looking under every rock, you're looking under it, behind every bush, you're digging up holes, you are searching as for hid treasure. Reminds me of Matthew 6:33. Seek the Lord, or seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And that word search there means to search as for something hidden. So we're seeking God. We're seeking his ways. What is God looking for here? Why is it so hard to seek? I mean, why is he saying seek and cry out? Because he doesn't just want our intellect. He wants our heart. He wants our passion. He wants us to get into it. He wants us to really seek him, to be passionate about it. Because when we are passionate, we are driven. When we are passionate, we are open. When we are passionate, we are ready to hear what he has to say to us. So the result is amazing. Listen to this. Then, once you're seeking, once you're passionate about him and what he has for us in his word, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. We'll talk more about that in a minute. I wish I could really get into that right now, but then you'll understand the fear of the Lord, which is the basis for wisdom, and you will find, I love this, you will find the knowledge of God. See, what you are seeking for, what you are crying for, what you are searching is for hid treasure. What you are seeking is the knowledge of God, to understand God and who he is. Remember, the scripture tells us that it's in the knowledge of God that his grace is multiplied to us. It's in the knowledge of God that his power is released to us for everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we find the knowledge of God when we're crying out, for the Lord, verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And how do we hear the Lord? We hear the Lord through his word. And we hear the Lord as his spirit instructs us. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. See, when the righteous has a heart of righteousness, they hear, they find the wisdom of God. He is a buckler, a shield to those who walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity. You know, I was thinking the other day that if some of these corporations would change their department of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and replace it with a department of righteousness, judgment, and equity. Boy, what a turnaround that would be, huh? Yea, every good path. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. See, when wisdom enters our heart, that's when we are embracing it. We're embracing wisdom into our heart. Matter of fact, in three different scriptures in Proverbs, it tells us that it is the heart is where wisdom comes from. In 16:21, Proverbs 16:21, it says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. And then in verse 23, it says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. So wisdom comes out of our heart. And as you can see, based on what we have taught about the heart and how the heart is changed, how the heart is transformed, it is by us doing the word of God. Well, when we are crying out for wisdom and crying out for his word, it is our actions of desiring God and His Word that then causes wisdom to enter into our hearts so that it becomes part of our core value system. And knowledge, I love this too, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. In other words, if knowledge is pleasant to your soul, what that means is that your soul is not fighting against what's in your heart. So you've got wisdom in your heart, but if your soul is fighting against it, because I don't really want to do this, this is not my ambition, this is not my goal, this is not my desire. But see, when knowledge, when wisdom becomes pleasant to your soul, so that your ambitions and your desires and your goals are in line with the Word of God, see, it becomes pleasant to your soul. Discretion, verse 11. Notice it says, let's read the whole thing again, starting in verse 10. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, semicolon, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. So now, because the Word of God is in your heart, the wisdom of God is in your heart, you look at things and you say, ah, I'm not going that direction. That's not the right direction. I'm going to go this direction. Because now we have discretion. We have wise understanding. And understanding shall keep thee, shall guard thee. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things, disobedient things. And verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flatters with her words. That, verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Amen. Acquire wisdom by seeking, crying out for wisdom. In Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3, a scripture that we use very often to pray over ourselves, referring in this context in Isaiah, referring specifically to the Lord Jesus, but we've taken that for ourselves as well. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Messiah, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. So as we pray this over ourselves, we're praying, Father, give me a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord that would make us of quick understanding of the fear of the Lord. We see in the New Testament a very similar type seeking for wisdom and understanding. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So we're going back to the same thing, the knowledge of God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So it says the eyes of our understanding. Now that's talking about actually in the Greek, it's the word heart, cardia. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And that word know there actually means to see and to perceive. So the eyes of your understanding enlightened that you may see and perceive what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. So as we pray these prayers, we are every day as part of our morning prayers, then we are praying for wisdom, praying for revelation and understanding of God. Colossians chapter 1, another one of the prayers that we pray. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we're seeing the same concepts here, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we're back to the knowledge of God. James chapter 1 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So in acquiring wisdom, we are seeking after wisdom. We are seeking to know wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all these things that we've been talking about. Because that is what will be our life. That is then what gives us understanding of the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Okay, let's go on now to wisdom and the fear of the Lord. We've mentioned it several times. The scripture describes the fear of the Lord on two different levels. The first level is the fear of divine retribution. We already looked at Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says the same thing. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So this aspect of the fear of the Lord will cause a person to make right choices in life out of the fear of the consequences of making the wrong choices. When I was years ago, I had a friend in church that I was going to. The church was in East LA, and this particular man was a Hispanic man, and he grew up in East LA. And he was raised in the Catholic Church as a young man, and he understood the fear of God. But for his personal life, it didn't do a whole lot, because he was quite a wild young man. But he had the fear of the Lord in a sense. This is what he would tell us. He said he'd be out cruising with his buddies, drinking and carousing, but every time they would go by a Catholic church, from the time they hit the beginning of the property, no more cussing, no more drinking, and they would do the sign of the cross as they went across the front of the Catholic church. And when they got to the other side, they would go on and they would resume their thing. But he said, and I don't know if you know much about East LA, but back in those days, there was a Catholic church, every few blocks. And so as he's driving and carousing and doing all this kind of stuff, it was, St. Jude the Apostle and the St. Mary's Church and, all the different Catholic churches. But every time they go by one, stop the sin. Anyway, and this country has had for years an underlying message of the fear of God. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 16, verse 6, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So this is one aspect of the fear of the Lord, that you make good choices, or maybe a better way of saying that is you avoid bad choices because you fear the divine retribution that may come. It may, may not be God slapping you on the head, but but certainly circumstances or the results of your sin would be that retribution. But there is another aspect, a wonderful aspect to the fear of the Lord. And really, these two work together in a lot of ways. But let's go ahead and talk about this second one. It is a solemn respect for God that has come as a result of seeking wisdom. And that is, we are so taken and overwhelmed by the grandeur, the sublimity, the awesomeness, the righteousness, the holiness, the judgment, the loving kindness, the mercy, the truth, and the goodness of God, that obedience and service is our only reasonable response. This is what I was meditating on when the Lord just came and sat on me a few days ago. I was thinking about the grandeur, the sublimity. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of Apostle Joshua's testimony about a break in his atheism, I guess you might say, a crack that appeared in his atheism when he had come home from a trip overseas. And as he was driving to his home, and he came up over a crest, and he saw this beautiful scene of the ocean and the land and the blue sky and everything, and he just was so taken by it that he pulled his car over and he said, "If there is a God and he made this, and you show me who you are, I will do whatever you say." That is the fear of God. That is a natural picture. We are so in awe, so overwhelmed, so taken by who God is, by his holiness, his love, that we just, it's like we don't want to do anything that is going to disrupt that. He is our Father, and we don't want to do anything that would hurt him. So our fear of God is the desire to please him, to be his servant, because of who he is. And as I mentioned earlier about Isaiah, and seeing the Lord high and lifted up, what was his reaction? "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, a prophet of the Lord. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." But then what was his response to God's question? "Who will go for me?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord. I'll go for you." So seeing God in that way just engenders a response of service. Reminds me of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy unto me, which is your reasonable service." So when we see who God is, that is our reasonable, our response to him is our of love and service is our reasonable response. And then out of that understanding of the fear of the Lord comes Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So let me go ahead and quote the verse. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And that's the Lord talking there. Do I hate? God saying, I hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth, the habitually disobedient mouth. Says God says, I hate that. And if God hates it, we should hate it. In Psalm 101, David says this, I will sing of the mercy and the judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when will thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person, or I will not know the wicked. So you can see here David's heart. He wanted so much to live in the mercy and the justice and the judgment of God that he didn't want evil around him at all. He even goes on to say in the psalm that it's like, you know, if I've got a servant that's wicked, I'm going to kick him out. I don't want him in my house. I don't want him in my presence. He wanted righteousness so much and holiness. If you are interested in looking at this more, I would suggest you read Psalm 19, which we read earlier. You also read Psalm 119. That whole psalm, all 176 verses of it, is all about the Word. I believe there's only 5 verses in that whole psalm that doesn't say something about the Word, either, you know, statute, law, commandment, lots of different, ways that he describes the law there or the Word. So those would be one things to look at, Psalm 19 and Psalm 119, but then also. In the book of Proverbs, the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. That's the whole point of those first 9 chapters. Now, basically what happens after that, chapters 10 through the end of the book, he is giving illustrations of what is right and what is wrong. The righteous do this, the wicked do that. And this is the result for them, or the slothful, or the person who is lying, or lazy, or whatever. Plus, and then those that are you know, on the good side of all those. So, the whole book of Proverbs. I don't know if you've have done this or do this in your life, but I would really suggest it. There are 31 proverbs. And for some reason, it just matches perfectly with the days of most months. And so what I have been doing for quite some time now is I read the Proverbs, the proverb that corresponds to the day of the month. So today is the third, so Proverbs chapter 3. And I would suggest that you do that. You're going to find yourself convicted. You're going to find yourself inspired. You're going to find yourself enlightened. You're going to find yourself drawn towards life, drawn towards wisdom, drawn towards righteousness, drawn towards good, because of what it says there in the book of Proverbs. There's a proverb that says, he who is wise for himself. He who is a scorner, or who is against wisdom, against the things of God, then he bears it alone. So seek wisdom. Amen.
Oh, praise God. What a wonderful message, Pastor Matthew. Yes, wisdom from the Lord. I could all use more wisdom from the Lord. And just continual, never any improvement on that subject is fantastic. I agree with you about the one proverb chapter per day. It's a fantastic program. I know a lot of people do that. Had great success in that. It's been fantastic, wonderful for them. I also grew up Catholic, and I can relate to the person who goes by the church and suddenly becomes a little more holy and things like that. It's just something, there's some reverence that the Catholics have about that. But also being a businessman, I noticed that they'll be laughing and joking and telling interesting stories, and then I walk in the room, they suddenly change their subject too. So I guess it works both ways. Praise God. Let's start with Holy Communion. Praise God. Holy Communion. Love that name. Holy Communion. When you think about this, as we're in the Lent season and Resurrection Sunday is coming up in a few quick weeks, and you think that before that is the Good Friday that Jesus gave his body and sacrifice for us, and you think of all the pain and suffering that he went through, and he did that as the ultimate act of love for you. So we take this body right now, I want you to think of that. Remember that that's what Jesus did. So 1 Corinthians 11:24. When he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionate to remembrance. I'm just going to pray this one right now. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to your table. We remember your sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your body that was broken for us, and we thank you for your grace and drawing us closer to you. Draw us closer to one another in this church to unify us like a three-stranded cord which cannot be broken. So we're one in communion with you, the Trinity, our Heavenly Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I now take your body, and in doing so I agree and receive that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Receive now in Jesus' name. We pray for, according to 1 Corinthians 11:25-26. Similarly, when the supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, this cup is the new covenant ratified and established in your blood. As often as we drink it, we call God affectionately to remembrance. For every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we are representing and signifying, proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this precious gift of communion. We partake of your blood in the new and everlasting covenant. For this is the covenant we have made with you for eternal salvation. We pray that we are all filled with your perfect love that casts out all fear. We also pray we have the joy of the Lord that strengthens us to go forth and share your light with the world. In the name of Jesus, we take this cup of blessing, and we agree and receive because of the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, dwells in me, quickens my mortal body, and restores the life of God. Amen. Okay, let's do another of our sins prayer, please. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, thank you for cleansing me of all unrighteousness. And I will do our 20 affirmations of 1 Peter 2:24 together. Ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Praise the Lord.